Are y'all ready this morning? Before I get into it, Penny was asking me about the deal. I was able to take a week off. I've been doing this for about the last 3 or 4 years where I get to go and hang out with some guys. Usually we have different ministers that come. Sometimes we have some of the same. Sometimes it swaps up. But really got to spend some time with a dear friend that I really enjoy hanging out with. Me and him sort of share a room together there at the condo, and that's Dana Johnson. Dana and Linda Johnson, I met Dana. Matter of fact, I met Dana in Little Rock, Arkansas at Happy Caldwell's Church. They were doing a children's conference back when I was a children's pastor. And we went to that conference. Because when the Lord opened up a door of opportunity for me at that church, I was working for Allen at the time. And really, the main office was in Brentwood, I think, we're out of Brentwood. Mr. Taylor owned that company, and we really enjoyed. I love Mr. Taylor. He was a good man. I loved working with him. But it really came at the time when he had to make some decisions, and I was sort of last man standing who came on there, so I really was about to get laid off, if I remember correctly, and yet the door opportunity opened at the church there. So it just was a smooth transition, got to step into it. But I was just taking a step at the time. I couldn't see ahead. You know, we don't know everything. Matter of fact, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians and part of the chapter 13 that we've been looking at, it says, "For we know in part." And that even applies to down here on this life. We know in part, but there'll come a time when we'll know even as we're known. But even while we're walking down here, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And there are certain things you have to just walk out. Don't be discouraged. You just have to walk it out. The opportunity opened up at the church there. And then I did help with some renovation and stuff there for about a year. And then the children's pastor opened up for me. Listen, I didn't have any kids. I've never done anything like that before. I was a kid once, but that's all I knew. When I stepped into that part of the ministry there, I'm like, I need some help, Lord. And so, you know, they would have conferences around the country. So I knew Dana was a part of Eagle Mountain Church there in Fort Worth under Brother Copeland's ministry. So I thought, I'll go to this conference. And I knew about Happy Caldwell and some of the people. So I thought, we'll just go. So the pastor approved some of us going out there, and we took a van. We drove out to Little Rock. Well, they got all kinds of sessions out there. I mean, if you want to learn how to do puppets, you can learn how to do puppets. If you want to learn how to do object lessons, you can do. You want to learn how to do icebreakers, you can do. And all kinds of different things that you deal with kids. And they had all. And there's a boatload of things you could pick from. Well, I had Dana in my heart. And when he walked in that service, he didn't talk about object lessons, puppets. He talked about the pastoral heart and the shepherd's heart for children. And man, I'm sitting in that service, and it's like me and him's the only guy in the service. I know there's other people, hundreds of people in that thing, but I was telling him while we was down there, I said, I knew you in the spirit. I knew nothing about you in the flesh. That one meeting that I sat in, our spirits connected. I knew absolutely nothing. I didn't know he liked to play golf. You know what I mean? We just went and played some golf and had some fellowship. I didn't know it. I know that's part of the flesh. But I knew him in the spirit. And I mean, he connected. I thought, I gotta go talk with him. So I went back to the church and talked to the pastor a second. I said, "Will you let me go and take a few people with me?" And one of them was his daughter. So since his daughter was included, I knew I could probably get the approval. I said, "Will you let me go to two churches in this country, and I'll pick the churches, and let us go out. Instead of going to meetings, let us go to their church and sit in their church on a Sunday service when they're actually doing church. Not just doing a conference out somewhere, when they actually do it. And let me see what they do. And let us look and see what they do. We can learn more that way than just going to a conference." He said, "That's a good idea. I'll let you do it." So we went to Mac Hammond's church up in Minneapolis. And then we went to Eagle Mount Church. out in Fort Worth. But I called Dana up. I said, listen, I told him about the meeting. I said, you don't know me. This is my name. This is church we are in Birmingham. As they say, the rest is history. I went and went out there and met with him. Matter of fact, we started doing some children's camps together. Kelly Copeland, Brother Copeland's daughter, Commander Kelly, she come in and do conferences with Dana. He has done the Southwest Believers Convention for 30 years, all the children's meetings. And they're about to do it in a couple of weeks here. They got this next week to prep, and then a week from today, they set up in there and they start the convention. And you deal with about 800 kids. You got a children's church service of about 800 kids. And you got them from about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 11 o'clock at night. And you better have your stuff together. If you ain't never had 800 kids from 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, and I'm talking about where they're happy, and not only just happy, it ain't just about making them happy, but where they really receive. It's amazing. I mean, for example, this is okay, isn't it? I mean, he was telling me, he said, they left his daughter. I met Jenny and all of them. She's a part of the team. She and her husband and her children live in Charlotte. He told me that last year they drive straight when they leave after the convention. It's a 20-hour drive for them. From Dallas or Fort Worth up to where they live, North Carolina. And she said they were driving, her and her husband, kids are asleep, 3 o'clock in the morning on the way back. God's already talking to her about this year. The theme of this year's children's convention is called Game On. And it's about the Holy Ghost. Everything's about the Holy Ghost. Because they recognize. And it's interesting because we've been talking about the manifestation of the Spirit and all these things. There's a subtlety where the Holy Ghost is being not emphasized in His ministry in the church. I'm talking about like we see in the book of Acts and like Paul describes. And so they're bringing this to these children. And, you know, they got people coming from all over the place. You know, sometimes they're a lot of people are first-timers. And there's people who come, you know, back, frequent, you know, attendees to come back year after year. But I got to spend time with him. And we just got to go back and talk about some things that just divine connections and divine hookups. And a lot of times, you know, I hadn't seen him since this time last year. But it's just such a blessing when you get together. You get to sit down. You can have a little fun. And you get something to eat, and then you go back and you sit and you just talk. And you share things. And it just, you know, on the negative side, for example, you can experience something that was not a good situation. And it could be years ago, and then somebody come back and y'all start talking about that situation. And all of a sudden, you sort of get stirred up again. You ever done that where those emotions sort of get stirred up again? You sort of like, and we need to stop, you know, because I'm starting to get sort of, you know, you just talking about that sort of getting me, you know. Well, how much more on the other side of this can, when you talk about the things of God and things of the Spirit, that you get stirred up on the inside of you? So that's part of the purpose of it, just downtime and to go do that. But I had a wonderful time. Penny was wonderful, but that's the main thing that you take away from some of those times, because the other stuff just, you know, it's like the flower of the grass. It fades away, you know. But the things of the Spirit and the things of love are eternal. Amen. Y'all ready? Amen. You got your Bibles? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to the 13th chapter. You know, we last week we got over into the 14th chapter. And I just cannot go forward right now. I felt like I needed to come back in here this morning and let's talk a little bit more about the love of God. The love of God. The God kind of love. I'm just stirred up about it. And it's almost like I want to go forward because I'm really looking forward to us talking more about the ministry of tongues in the church today. Tongues is for this dispensation. I'm talking about the church age, the dispensation of the church. There's a lot of confusion about tongues, speaking in tongues. Okay? And yet, we want to go to the Scriptures. And we want to look at what the Word of God has to say about it. And yet, Paul took a whole chapter. You know, we talked about this last week. Paul took a whole chapter, sort of like a little mini book, I would say, and used it on 1 Corinthians 14. You know, he didn't do a whole chapter about the word of knowledge. You never see a whole chapter given about working of miracles or special faith or discerning of spirits. But you do have a whole chapter here regarding to tongues. It's very important. But what's more important and what's above all is love. Matter of fact, we see here, praise God, at the end of chapter 12, verse 31, Paul writing here, he says, but covet earnestly. Just covet a little bit. You know, it's like, so I'm going to locate some of you. It's like Brill cream. Just a little dab will do you. Just a little dab will do you. Brill cream. Y'all remember Brill cream? Does anybody remember Vitalis? Yes. I used to, as a kid, you know, come on, I'm looking. You know, I used to love to take the top off the Vitalis bottle and just smell it. Just smell it. Of course, you know, I was a kid and I couldn't use it. My parents wouldn't let me use it, but, man, I'd want some Vitalis or a little Brill cream. Oh, praise the Lord. And that was the commercial, just a little dab. Just a little dab will do you. So this is what Paul's saying here, just a little dab here in verse 31. No, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And he says this, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and yet we're going to sort of look at that when we get into tongues, because there's tongues of men and of angels. It's like I said last week, how much do we know about the tongues of angels? Very little, probably nothing much, but we can still speak in them. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We'll talk more about that next week, maybe. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, charity, the word charity here is the Greek word, agape, have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, man, the more I think about these kind of phrases, though I have all faith, Not some kind of faith, not a part of it. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods, not some of it, all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And then he begins to describe the love of God, how it suffers long and it's kind. It doesn't envy, and it's not arrogant. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not prideful and puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemingly. It doesn't seek its own. It doesn't insist on its own right or its own way, the Amplified talks about. It's not easily provoked, and it doesn't even think evil, but it rejoices not in iniquity, but it does rejoice in the truth. Now, I love verse 7. It beareth all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. It never fails. Now, listen to me. I know we read these scriptures. And I've done the same. And sometimes we can read them and just move on. But sometimes we need to really, you know, there's phrases that we use down here like stop and smell the roses. Stop. I like to say stop and smell the coffee since I like coffee. That's another thing about Dana. You've never seen a guy that likes coffee like this guy likes coffee. You know how much he likes coffee? I'm telling him now. This is probably going to go over the deal. We were talking about it. He'll take a coffee, like a regular standard coffee deal. He'll put two-thirds to your filter that you put in. He'll fill that thing all the way up to the top when he gets at home and just do a pour-over for two cups. I'm talking about two cups. He gets two cups out of a whole thing full of grains of coffee, three-quarter full of grains of coffee in a thing, and just does do a pour-over for two cups. Listen. you drink a cup of his coffee and your eyebrows will start twitching a little bit. I mean, you can feel it. You drink a little bit of it and all of a sudden you know. So what happens is we designate him. Listen, this guy can cook some breakfast though. I mean, can I tell you? I mean, he chips up different things and fries it a little, bake them to crisp and do different things and gets peppers and jalapenos and onion, all this kind of stuff. But we designate me for coffee detail. I got the coffee detail in the morning. We're all the early bird. Oh, I got off. I'm going to have to get back over here in the spirit here a little bit. Good luck. Love never fails. You know, last week, and I heard Brother Keith Moore talking about this. He was talking about when he was at Rhema, and he had met a couple Brother Hagin was very close to, and they would operate, and I made reference to this last week, how that they would operate in the gift, or the ministry gift, of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And yet, she also had the word of knowledge and word of wisdom operate through her life, pastor's wife, just on a frequent basis. And yet, she shared how that would come to her. You know, it's one thing to know that they do it or see them do it. It's another thing for them to tell you how it happens with them so you can learn. And here's what she would say. She said, whether it's in a service or somewhere else, she said she can just be in a service. And you know, God's not a respecter of persons. We love everybody, right? But she says she can just be in a service, or it could be out somewhere, and all of a sudden she just looks at somebody and her heart goes out to them. See, there's love there. You know, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. It moved him. Well, you know what he did? Another way to say that is he followed it. We're fixing to see a scripture here that says this. And yet, when her heart would go out to somebody, she would follow that. And she may not know at the moment what she's going to say or pray, but she knew that her heart just went out to them. And so she was bold enough and took the liberty. That's what boldness is. It's liberty. She took the liberty just to follow her heart, follow that love. And once she would follow the love, supernatural things would happen. It would bring things to people in their lives that, no matter what they were in, could cause them to have success, or it would profit them, as the scripture says here in chapter 12. It would bring profit to their life. Well, how did the profit start? By somebody following after love, following their heart. You know, I think we miss the supernatural so many times by looking for the spectacular. And yet, the greatest thing that we have, because we look here in this chapter, in chapter 13 at the end of this, because chapter 13 is sandwiched between 12 and 14. There is a divine purpose for that. And yet, the 13th verse of chapter 13 says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then the next verse, man puts chapter and verse in it, but Paul says the next thing, he says, follow after love. Follow after love. And desire spiritual gifts. We've already talked about the word gifts as italicized. It literally means things of the Spirit, things pertaining to the Spirit, things of the Spirit. The more you and me will follow after love and allow our hearts, for example, if your heart goes out to somebody, or let me say it like this, somebody just comes to your heart. Thank you, Ronald. My brother over here, he just said, he came in this morning and said, you just came up in my heart this morning. We just followed that. Well, I tell you what it is. It's a blessing to me. Because Ronald and I go way back. We go back, some of us, we know we was in church with Ronald. He's traveled on the mission fields and done things. And yet, without a word. Now, Ronald could speak some things to me. If the Lord doesn't say, that's fine. I'd be open and receptive. But I can tell you right now, just when he walked in, something already started speaking to me. And I hadn't told him this, but it already started speaking to me. Can I tell you that if you'll follow your heart and follow the love of God, you never know. You can walk in a situation, you may just walk in, and God may not have you say a bunch of words. But just because you followed your heart and somebody came to your heart and you out of love followed that, the anointing of God and the Spirit of God can do things that you could never dream up or think of that would minister to those people. That's why Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, I'd rather have the anointing of God on me for 5 minutes than the whole world with a fence around it. Why? Because that anointing, that love, if you'll follow it, it never fails. Matter of fact, it will bring forth things pertaining to the Spirit. Our spirituals will flow from that. And yet, you know as well as I do, guys, there's a flip side of this coin. It's the very thing that tries to oppose us day by day in our lives. And a lot of times it's by the people that are closest to us. We get in strife. We get upset. We get offended. You know why that is? Because the love of God, if we'll follow it, just like this dear sister, when Brother Keith said that, I was listening to that, I was listening on my phone, actually. When he made that phrase about her, that she would just, her heart would go out. But anytime she would follow her heart because her heart went out to somebody, always supernatural things took place. That spoke to me. That spoke to my heart. It makes me even tear. It spoke to me. It did something in me. And yet I look back in my own life and I look at other people's life and I can see it. That is the reality. Anytime there's divine love, anytime people are really walking in 1 Corinthians 13 and the things, how it describes things, listen, there's a power there. There's an anointing there. It's God. And it leads or it creates an atmosphere for something that is so great. Why? Because it is the greatest. And it provides an avenue or a way for God to flow. Because that's what God is. God is love. And I know we talk about God is love and Jesus loves us. And yes, and I don't belittle those statements. But we sometimes need to take the time to consider the purpose of why he put this in here between these two chapters and all these manifestations and gifts and callings. Why? Because the bottom line, it's all about the people. It's all about people. For God so loved the world. And I'm telling you right now, we need to be mindful of this. Need to be mindful. It opens up the door. Now, let's look at a couple of things here, okay, right quick. Let's look at the Lord Jesus and some things that Paul said. Let's go to Philippians. I think I made reference to this, but let's go back and look at it. Philippians chapter 2. I'm telling you right now, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I'll give you a testimony. I was just last week, we was down at the coast there, and after we got through eating lunch one day, we went in and there was an ice cream shop right there next door to where we was eating lunch. And I know, man, I get to talking about this stuff. We'll have to quit right here in just a second. But there was an ice cream shop. And, Lord, it was a Bluebell ice cream shop. And so when we saw the Bluebell ice cream shop, we got in there. And, of course, they have these different kind of deals. But we all got waffle cones, the big waffle cones. And so this girl was in there. And she was by herself. And, I mean, there's several people in here. And there's four of us, plus there's several other people, and she's by herself. She's having to do all the work. She's having to do the cashier, everything. There's nobody there to help her. And she is doing a wonderful job. So we got to talk with her when she did her ice cream because I was picking out choices and stuff. And she did a wonderful job. So We didn't come back the next day, but 2 days later, we came back in there. And that was on Thursday. And she's in there again, same deal. Listen, she's working like a Trojan. I'm telling you, and she has a good attitude about it, how she talks to people. I'm just sort of watching her. And talked to her again. And I said, you're going to be here tomorrow? Because tomorrow was our last day, and we thought we'd do it again, you know, because it was so good. She said, no, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'll be off. So we thanked her for her work. And so I'm sitting there, we're sitting there eating our ice cream because it's so hot outside. And there's a little place, a little shop in there, because if you walk out, that stuff's going to melt quickly. So we just sitting there, and we stood around a few minutes and ate our cone. But I'd sit around, walk around, look at things, and I'd go back and I'd look at her. I'd watch her. And then I'd walk around, look at her, we'd talk, you know, people around, you know, the guys I was with, we'd talk, you know, your attention go to them, we'd talk, myself. And all of a sudden, I found myself, I'd be looking back over there at her. And I realized, you know, I was preaching on this stuff last Sunday. My heart's going out to her. So I followed my heart. And she ain't got time to talk much. Now, see, I'm not saying this to get my prophet before men. But I know what the Lord spoke to me. So I asked her. And here's what the Holy Ghost said. I knew what the Holy Ghost had said to me. She come back over to the restroom, and I was standing right by the restroom, and she would sort of look at me. She said, you okay? You need something? No, I'm good. And then she'd go over there, and there's people lined up, and she's doing it, and all of a sudden she'd stop doing it for a minute, and then she'd have to go check out, you know, and there's people lined up picking. And then she sort of looked at me again. I'm sitting right at my ice cream, sort of looking at her. She's like, who's this guy right here? I asked her, I looked at her and I said, you do such a wonderful job. And she said, well, thank you. I said, I want to ask you a question. I know you're busy. Can I ask you one question? I said, what's the biggest tip you ever got? And she told me. And I'm not going to tell you. But here's what the Holy Ghost told me. I said, I'm going to double that tip. And I want you to agree with me that you'll get even more than that. Because God loves you so much. I said, you do a wonderful job here, but I said, but the Lord loves you. You ought to see the look on this girl's face. Walked out of that place. I don't know what will happen to that girl. I hope I see her in heaven. There were so many people waiting on her to fix them some ice cream. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't my time to sit there and preach to her and take her away from her job. That wasn't the point. But you know, here's my point. My heart went out to her. You know, you can be in a restaurant and a girl can be having a bad day and maybe she's not waiting on you like you think she ought to. But you know what? There may be something else going on there. I've seen people, and I understand. But see, that where they get that's from the world. They don't get it from the Bible. Well, if they didn't get good service, then you just tip them a quarter or a few things and that'll let them know they didn't do good service. If you're a believer and you treat somebody like that, shame on you. Now, God doesn't hold it against you, but I do. You never know what's going on with people's lives. You don't know what's going on behind the scene. You being a blessing and following love and demonstrating some love to them may be the very thing that brings life to them. I'm telling you, just like the manifestations, she talked about this lady, talked about it when she would follow her heart, when her heart would go out to people. Then God sometimes God would tell her when she looked at him, her heart would go out to him. He'd tell her what to say to him. He'd give her something for him. Sometimes your heart may be able to go out to somebody. You may not know it right then. You may leave that place and be praying about those people, and then God starts giving you something for them. And then later you may be able to give it to them. Sometimes it may be a situation you don't know anything. Just, I don't know, but my heart, you know, just you've just come to my heart. Is there something I can pray with you about? And all of a sudden they said, well, yes. And they may let you know something. Or sometimes you may just say, can I pray for you? Do you mind if I pray for you? I don't want to impose on you, but this just come to my heart. Do you mind if I pray for you? And most people say, yeah, that's good. And you'll never know. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, manifestations of the Spirit start operating. Why? Because you're following after love. And you're coveting and desiring things of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because all these things are to profit us and to bless people. Okay? Let's look at this with Paul in Philippians chapter 11. Let's look at this real quick. And I want to come at this from a different side, because a while ago I made a statement. You can see everything that tries to oppose us. You know, it's just like I said when we was teaching on Wednesday nights here, and we still have been for a while teaching on faith and how God wants us to hold fast to the confession of our faith. But you will be challenged in that area in your life. And as long as we're in this earth suit, we will be challenged in that area. Well, you're going to be challenged on a pretty regular basis to try to get you out of love or following love. And there's so many things that'll try to offend you or get you into strife or contention or all these things, because I'm convinced, the more I meditate on this, and when I heard that, what Brother Keith said, and other things that the Spirit of God would just bring to my heart as I have been meditating on this and thinking about these things, I'm totally convinced it's the divine channel. It's the highest way. It's the God way. It never fails. It'll bear up under anything and everything. It is not obsolete. It will never come to an end. And I'm telling you, the greatest thing going is love. And there's nothing greater than love. It's the very thing that Jesus said that people would know that you are of Him. And I can tell you, it can be the darkest heart. It can be a hardened heart. And we can look at that thing right in the face, and it can try to upset us. And sometimes it has and does. But if we can truly get to this place of what Paul's trying to say, it can be the very thing. It's the only thing that'll be able to penetrate that darkened mind and that hardened heart. It's the only thing. When nothing else will work. Remember, it says it never fails. When everything else will fail to reach that person. I don't care what you try to think of, what you get somebody else to try to do, come from the back way, the side way, the back door, the front door, through the window. I'm talking about, you know, spiritually speaking, to try to get help to people and change. The thing that won't fail is the love of God. I'm talking about when somebody's being led and following after agape. You know, we say this all the time. Well, hey, the Holy Ghost is going to have to fix it. I mean, it's going to have to be the Holy Ghost. It's going to have to be God. Well, God is love. The Bible says we've not received a spirit of fear, what? But a spirit of power and of love. He's a spirit of love. The Holy Ghost has shed the love of God in our hearts, Romans 5:5. We're to be led by it. It's the key, because sometimes we think about, here's my point in all this. Sometimes we think about gifts of the Spirit and manifestations and how these things take place, and we wonder how they will work in our life or how we can get them to work and all this kind of stuff, when really, if we'll just focus and allow our hearts to follow the love of God in us, you'll be surprised how much supernatural will show up. You don't have to try to seek after the spectacular. It will lead you and put you in positions. What kind of positions? God positions. Just like the situation. And no situation is insignificant. I knew that my heart went out to that girl. Now, I'm not saying this to brag on me. I'm not trying to say this to get my reward in front of men, as Jesus told me. That's not my point. I'm using this as a wonderful illustration, because it come right on the heels of us teaching this, and yet I get an opportunity. And not just an opportunity, I sense that in my heart. And I recognize, listen, we go back in the next day on the Friday. There's two other girls there. They know the girl's name. The girl's name was Hannah, who waited on us that day. And these other girls, they told her. And I liked the girls that I spoke to the next day. And we were nice to them and everything. And even tipped them. But it was something different about this girl. You see what I'm saying? God's not a respecter of persons. It's not like He loves Hannah more than these other girls. But there was a moment. I don't know, but the Holy Ghost knows. I don't know what that will do. I know one thing. When she gets in that tip jar and empties that tip jar at the end of the day, she's going to know that what I said to her. Don't ever go to a restaurant and let a waitress see you praying and bowing your head and asking grace over your food, and then you give them a lousy tip. Don't ever, don't ever let that happen. I don't care if everything about that experience was wrong at that meal. You understand what I'm saying? There's a spirit side to these things. I know this is just something that comes up on just what just happened, of course, this week. But it's the only illustration I can give you right at the moment. There's other illustrations that we could come up with or God could give us. But it's you get the point. I believe on the other side of glory that a girl named Hannah will walk up to me in heaven. And she said, Do you remember the day that I put the cookies and cream down in your big cone first, and then I put the pralines and cream on top of it? You remember those two? And I just piled that stuff up so high because there was just something about you. I'm going to say, absolutely, I remember. The Lord told me once I was at Fort Courage, Ronald, in the heat. The air conditioners wasn't working too good in those cabins. And I'm down there in those cabins getting ready to minister to kids. And the Lord brought a scripture to me where Jesus would put his hands on people. And then he told me, he said, the laying on of hands is one of my six fundamental doctrines. The laying on of hands is a doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And he says, I want you to lay hands on those children tonight. In the service, he said, I want you to lay hands on every kid. Put your hands on them. And he was talking to me about it. And as I was meditating this, and some of you may have heard me say this, but then he spoke to me. I never heard anybody say anything like this. I knew it wasn't the devil talking to me. And I knew I wasn't just thinking it up. And he spoke to my spirit. And he said this. He said, when you get to heaven, he said, I want you to ask the children at that time, the ones that I put my hands on and blessed them, he said, I want you to ask them what took place in their life after that. Just as a result of me putting my hands on them and blessing them. You know, we've done found out over here that we've talked about this love thing, how that we can bless or we can curse with our words. And it talks about two wisdoms. There's one wisdom from above. There's one from beneath. There's a wisdom from beneath that has strife in it. See, remember a while ago I said everything's trying to take you away from following after love. Why? Because Paul put this in here because I'm telling you, it's connected to the manifestations of the Spirit. Because really, you can do everything outwardly and it won't mean anything. But if it's something you're following inwardly, it can produce everything. It can bring things pertaining to the Spirit on the scene. Man, we've never read Philippians, have we? We're already there. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Listen to what he's saying here. Now he's making a statement. If there be therefore any, did he say, any consolation in Christ? If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. I got to thinking about this. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if you're fellowshipping and allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you at all, for example, if there's any bowels and mercies, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing. How much? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or contention. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, we could take time on all of these and break these down, but I'm going to keep reading here. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Everything that was said prior to that statement, let this mind be in you, that's what Jesus operated and walked in. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus knew who he was as far as his spiritual status. He knew he was equal with God. That's man. But just because he knew that, he still had a mindset about him. One translation talks about he had this kind of attitude about him. You ever heard these phrases like this? You need to change your attitude. You ever heard a parent say that to your kids or to their children? I was a child once. You remember I talked about when I was in, I didn't know nothing about children's ministry. The only thing I knew, I was a child once. I've heard those words before. I've heard them at the supper table. You, young man, you need to change your attitude right now. Let me ask you a question. Why did my mother or my dad say that to me? Was it because they was wanting to be hard on me, be harsh to me? Because they didn't like me? They were mad at the moment? No, that's because they loved me and they realized, listen, they realized that that attitude right there, left unchecked, could produce even more of that attitude in my life. And they knew that that kind of attitude would not bring success to me. It would not profit me. You know, all the manifestations of the Spirit are to profit everyone. But see, they knew with that kind of attitude, there would be no profit in my life. I didn't know at the time. I was just a child. Paul says up here earlier, he says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But we see now that we need to put away childish things and we need to think spiritual. And yet, even in the natural, fathers after our own flesh, as the scripture says, knew better and knew that if that attitude remained in me, it wouldn't be good for me. Jesus had an attitude about him, a mind about him, even though he knew who he was and that he was equal, yet he had a certain attitude. And yet, because of that attitude, he was highly exalted. God was able to exalt him because he didn't exalt himself. Look here, let's keep reading this for a second. He said, verse 7, but made himself. Notice here, this is something that's very interesting. God didn't even make this part of him. Jesus humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, that's another thing right there where you humbled yourself. Well, God humbled me. You know, God had to do this to me to humble me. Listen, I'd rather hear a donkey bray at midnight. Listen. Why don't we just humble ourselves? Jesus did. Plus, all that junk that people are saying how God does to humble you is a bunch of lies anyway. Listen, why don't we just humble ourselves? Why don't we make ourselves of no reputation? Do you know how much in life, or how much out there in life, and even in ministry, is about people trying to make a reputation? Let me ask you a question. And I know, just like sharing this a while ago, people says, well, you just contradict yourself because you shared this testimony, and so you're just bragging on yourself. No, that's not my heart. But I can tell you this, I've thought about this. Do you know Jesus would look at people after he'd have wonderful manifestations and things happen in his ministry, in his life? I'm talking about testimonies. And he would look and say, hey, don't tell nobody about this. You know, a lot of people want to run and let everybody know what happened. I tell you what, look at you know what God did and what I did the other day. You know what? You can let people, somebody know what God did. And it not be trying to make yourself of no reputation. Just like you can give to the poor, give your body to be burned, and it be love. You see what I'm saying? But we have to be careful because a lot of times people are trying to make a reputation. They want people to see them for some reason to see how spiritual they are or whatever it is. That's not Jesus. Because you see Jesus doing this over. He did this more than once. And, you know, I always used to look at that and I didn't understand it. I understand it more now. He really was that way. Of course, you know, they didn't, they just went and told it. I mean, some of them, they didn't do what he told them to do. They just went and did it anyway. You know, moving right along here. We see where God exalts him. Give him a name above every name. Now look here. Wherefore, verse 12. What is wherefore connected to? Everything before it. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do a few things. No, some things. Do most things. Do all things without murmuring and outward disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a, look at this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We could talk a lot right now about that last few verses there, but I'm gonna say this. There's things that's going to challenge you and me. And the Bible says it's not flesh and blood that we're just wrestling with. It's designed. Just like Jesus stood and he said, blessed is the people who won't be offended in me. And he told them right before he's made that statement, he said, let me just tell you some things are going to happen to you. And people are going to mistreat you. And I'm going to say this statement again. Don't you make a decision about your life that'll carry you away from the will of God, even from supernatural things happening in your life and manifestations of the Spirit of God in your life. Don't you make a decision that will carry you away from the will of God, the Word of God, the plan of God, because somebody else has an unwise moment. And you get upset with them, you get angry, you get offended. And then because of that, you start making decisions and you start having an attitude that will come in and totally cause you to separate yourself from the life of God. Because see, Jude wrote about it and said, people who become sensual, just sense ruled, flesh ruled, he said they separate themselves. God never separates himself from us. They separate themselves. Paul said it in Ephesians 4 once again. He said people alienate themselves from the life of God. God doesn't alienate himself from them, but people alienate themselves. Why? Because they get out of love. They get over in this area, and they don't have this attitude. They're thinking about themselves more than they're thinking about the other person. Just like I said, using the illustration at the restaurant, the waiter or waitress may be ugly. You may not care for their attitude, just like other people out in life, but you don't know everything. If you allow love to lead you and you'll follow that, it's good. It can profit. God can work in that and will use that. Jesus said it would. He said, by this, people will really and truly see that you're of him. And Peter said it like this, then God will use those situations and the attitude of your heart and what you're following from your heart. He'll use that when he visits them. And they'll glorify God. And they'll see and recognize. And it'll make a difference. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, I don't like it when I get upset. Do you like it when you get upset? Now, we all do it. You see what I'm saying, guys? I mean, we all deal with things in our flesh, and there's things that I just don't like. I don't like to feel that way. I don't like it when there's contention. I don't like it. And sometimes, as the scripture says, as much as lies within you, we're to live peaceably with all men. Sometimes people won't let you live peaceably. They won't let you make peace with them because they're so offended that they don't want that. Even if you sincerely looked at them and said, please forgive me, I'm sorry, they still won't receive that. They're still upset with you. And really from your heart, you were trying to say, listen, I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. But I can tell you right now, I can see the purpose of all that. It's almost like, I'm not saying I know everything about it, but it's almost like God peels back the wrapper and I see a little more of the intent of that. Because God, in His Word, put this great love chapter. And yet, when I hear the examples of a lady who saw a lot more manifestations and some things in her life that I've probably experienced in my life, and yet she says, this is how it happens, this is how it comes to me, this is why it happens with me. And my ears perk up. The Bible says we're to follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And there's things we can learn from these elders, our fathers and moms in the faith that we look to and we see. And it struck a note in me. And yet, even recently, I've been thinking about it. I see things and I observe. And yet, I realize contention, strife, the only purpose of that is to hit. The Scripture says it tries to bring confusion and every evil work in. I said, I think this last week, it wants to hit the pause button, spiritually speaking, in your life. When you're confused, you don't advance. You just don't pause. It's not like you can go forward. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you, still love you. It's not that you're not forgiven by through the cross and through His blood, but it just, in your heart, in your soul, it just puts pause there. Things are not free-flowing. There's not peace, real true peace. There's not liberty. I tell you, praise God, sometimes even when you know that the other is at fault just as much as you are, and yet they don't seem to make the first move, there's just something about if you'll just make the first move and you'll go ahead and say, listen, please forgive me. Please forgive me, I'm sorry. There's a freedom that comes after that. But before that moment, listen to me, you've experienced it yourself. Before that moment, those uggies were still there. There was, you had that feeling when you're around them and you still got that contention. But once you do that, even if at the moment they're a little hesitant, once you truly do that from your heart, not because somebody forced you to do it, but you did it out of your own initiative and you followed that and you went and said, listen, I'm sorry. There's something that frees you up at that moment when you walk away from that. You don't feel in your own heart. You know in your heart that you've done all that you've known to do and to follow because you follow that love. And that love will bring liberty. And there's a freedom there for no spiritual impediments that would try to come and block and confuse and even open up avenues for other things, as James said. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? We know that there's a lot of things going to cease. And there'll come a time when we'll know even as we're known, and we won't just know in part. And yet there'll be some things like knowledge and time. They will cease. But there's three things that will never cease. That's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest thing that will never cease is love. And I know we've heard messages on love. We need to hear more messages on love. But I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, my brother and sister, it's the greatest thing that we can be led by. And if you don't wonder if you question about the leading of the Spirit about some things in your life, and sometimes you may wonder what the leading of the Spirit is, one thing you can know, if you'll follow love, read the Scriptures along these lines, I'm telling you, you are being led by the Spirit when you're being led by love, or when you're following after love. And when your heart goes out or somebody comes to your heart, follow it. Pray about it. And if you don't know at the moment and they come to your heart, just say, Lord, what's this? They've come to my heart. They're on my heart. You ever had somebody on your heart before? There's a reason they're on your heart. I said, there's a reason they're on your heart. Have we been perfect in this? No. Have we missed it before? Sure we have. But you know, we can rise up, praise God, and we can follow, and we can increase. That's why Paul prayed the prayers for the church. He said, I pray that the love of God would increase and abound more and more in all knowledge and all judgment. It'll help you approve the things that are excellent. In other words, you'll begin to make decisions. Other translation says you'll begin to make decisions. You'll follow, and direction will come as the love of God increases. This is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. You look up different translations in those two verses. That's a prayer that he prayed for the body of Christ, because he knew if that was being implemented and that was being wrought and accomplished through the brethren and the beloved, oh yeah, oh yeah, there'd be manifestations. Oh yeah, there would be supernatural. Oh yeah. And it will bring profit to every individual. Father, thank you so much for your great love. I am so thankful, Father, you said, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them upon the table of their hearts. Not the law of Moses, not that which is of the old covenant, but you said there's a new covenant coming, and I will put my law in their hearts. Well, we know the law of this new covenant is the law of love. That's why the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. That love that you have toward us, but not only toward us, but the love that will flow and operate through us. It's the nature, the divine nature. It's what we're born of. It's our nature. And all we have to do is follow who we are. Anytime we step out of that, that divine love, that's not who we are. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're children of love. We're born of love. And yet anytime we will just allow that nature and that which is in us to have the preeminence, and if we'll just give place to it, it will bring forth fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace. But it's love. And everything else hinges and comes from that life, from that nature. And we give you thanks for it today. Help us to see. Help us to hear. Help us to follow, even in greater degree and in greater ways. So that you be glorified and others be blessed and ministered to. We trust you for that today in Jesus' name. I speak blessing and health and strength over every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father God, for increase. I thank you for increase. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Brother Ronald, I just sense it in my heart. I just want to come over here and just put my hand on you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, as I put my hands on you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the unction of God within you. And I call upon that anointing and that unction that is abiding on the inside of you. And your word says that he need not that any man would teach or direct him. The word direction there. For that unction and that anointing is on the inside of him. And I just call for that now. And I decree and declare that that unction and that anointing will increase, especially in the area of direction and promptings. And you'll see it increase some 30 and some 60-fold. And that which will come forth, you'll find out that you'll be seeing things and ministering to those. And that you'll see the hand of God in it. And it may not be as you suppose, but it will be that which is of the Holy Ghost and of that anointing that will direct you. And you'll find yourself in some of the most simple situations, and even maybe a few complex situations, but that anointing and that glory will direct you, will lift through you, will bring forth that to those that you speak to. It will bring rivers They don't realize it, but it's almost like they're thirsting to death. But oh, the Spirit. Oh, that anointing. Oh, those words. Even the presence of God in and upon you will bring life-changing results. There's a connection even with some things that's being said here in the last, this service particularly, that it's going to cause some things higher. We're going higher. There's a stepping up. Praise the Lord. I believe that. I believe that for me. I believe that for me. And I believe that for you. A church family, a local church, should be in one accord. There should be a spirit of unity. There's a bond of peace. There's a bond. Ephesians talks about the spirit of unity, bond of peace. Colossians talked about right to a church, your hearts being knit together in love. There's a knitting, there's a oneness. There's a, just like in the early church, they were in one accord. There's a unity there. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Bless you.